Blog Talk Radio. Come get this teaching arranged by the author Sherelle Omiika Bidiako Garth. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Well, we've taken our music to another place, somewhere out there in the middle of space, busting out with lines of ebonics, reducing ourselves to a level of demonics, when we can be pushing albums that blind it. Instead, we choose to front it. Well, we don't take without giving back. We do this in order to circumvent lack. It's a fact. It's the principle of reciprocity in act. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. While we've gone from paying some dues to singing someone else's blues, we can't continue to allow ourselves to be used. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. We went from segregated to integrated to miseducated, now to reeducated. It's time. It's time. We've been dedicated before we soon regret it. Put down the pipes. Lift up your heads and let's possess the mics. For we're taking this music to a brand new height. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Once men are mute, unable to use the words of our own pursuit, we've got a brand new vocabulary at our disposal. While we're not even writing our own proposals, while the stories of the ghetto hood unfold, of the coming one to be foretold, didn't you know it? That it's our time now to manufacture our own flavor of rhyme. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying, and you know I'm not lying. Let's take the message to a higher ground, like Stevie Wonder and James Brown. While we don't have time for fooling around, let's take the beat, let's take the beat, where we can all get down, where we can all get down. Knowledge and truth is what the people want to hear in this critical time of living in fear. Let's possess the stage like the coming of the new millennium age. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying, and you know I'm not lying. Now I'll ask you, are you the one, or is there another to come to take this music to a higher level? And if you aren't, then come get this teaching and give it to those who I'm not reaching.
Good evening, African family. And how is the African this evening? And how are the children? This is how we greet one another in the African village, in the African perspective. And we also always, as always, we have to remember to ask permission of our ancestors and ask permission of our elders. Do we have permission to speak? And as they give us the nod to go on, then that lets us know that they have initiated us to go on and lecture and to speak about what it is we came here to do. And we also make notice of the ancestors and invite them in as we begin to pour libations to all four cardinal directions, north, south, east, and west. Those libations have to be poured. So as we pour libations, the traditional way would be to say Ashe, 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 meaning so let it be done, so let it be. Giving us the go-ahead on that, we want to talk to you a little bit about who we are. Our group is called Project 2019. That's who's featuring Care to Read. We are a family and consumer education organization offering resource and information for the family and the community. We are eradicating illiteracy, closing the gap for African Americans in areas that we have fallen short in. We know that the statistics are showing that we are running an all-time high for us appearing on lists where we are the highest in population and numbers. Speaking of population, I was told or I read somewhere that the population growth, it is too large and it must be addressed, and that they must find a way to cut down on population. And there are many ways that our government looks at population and how it affects us, even in other countries such as Japan. I believe that there is a one-child minimum there, and that's their way of cutting down on population. But there's also many schools of thoughts as to how we are going to be addressing the population growth. And some people seem to think that there are some schools of thoughts out there with our health problem rising. They're looking at, can we possibly be looking at warfare, germ warfare, and is this a way to limit our population? Now, you know, this group always talks about educational books that you can read. We're not going to call you in the room to talk and not give you a good book that you can refer to for the family. So therefore, I'd like to share this book with you called Psychotechnology of Brainwashing. And this is an African passage book by Dr. Chief Wembe Fahim Asante. He is a psychologist, and I'd like to just read you something from chapter 5 that he has written. And remember, this is psychological, but I want to set a precedent for our guests in the audience today. I want to set a precedent because we're about to talk about one of the most hottest topics in the century, ladies and gentlemen, and we're about to open up the opportunity to talk about the various different schools of thought and the belief system and what is happening in the way of education for our people, and are people literate enough to read that education if they can read, and where can they find information on the topic of HIV and AIDS, full-blown AIDS and HIV. That's the topic for this evening, ladies and gentlemen, and we have a guest speaker, an expert on the topic, Mrs. Juanita Jordan, also known as JJ, in the community of Gary, Indiana. She is a professional where she works with families in educational instruction on dietary and food preparation. I met this young lady and held onto her card and knew that there were very few people who could speak on the topic of AIDS and do that intelligently. I was very pleased to find that she was not only endowed in understanding of the disease system, she was also endowed with knowledge about nutritional preparations for family and has worked with other institutions to help prepare families to design meals and healthy meals. We're going to be talking about preventative measures for AIDS as well. And let me read this small segment for you just to set a precedent, and we'll go right out and introduce our guest and welcome her. In chapter 5, it says, The Opening Condition of the Mind. In this book, Beyond Freedom and Dignity, the white psychologist B.F. Skinner, and most of us know who Skinner is, I studied him in school myself, makes the statement that man as we know him, for better or worse, is what man has made of man. He points out that the physical environmental is largely man-made. The shelter we live in, the clothes we wear, the cars we move about in, the most of the things we listen to are looked at are the products of man-made creativity. The social environment in which we live in, also clearly man-made. We learn the language we speak from the environment and the customary ways of behaving. In addition, we learn behavior relative to the religion, the ethical, economic, educational, media, governmental institutions which control our behavior. According to Skinner, man plays two roles by designing his own culture. I repeat, I want to read that again. Man plays two roles by designing his own culture. First, he is the controller. Since he is who designed the created culture, second, as the product of the culture, man is controlled, brainwashed by that culture, whether that is his intention or not. It is for these reasons that Afrocentricity is a vital force for psychological freedom. Skinner argues in many professional papers articles and books is that it is time to design technology of behavior and technology to be set up in the dilemma and design of the controlling environment. Kenneth D. Clark, the only black psychiatrist to serve as the president of America Psychological Association, called upon science to develop a psychotechnology that could monitor the emotional stability of world leaders and curb their aggressiveness and instinct. Editorialists who seldom comment on the scholar's opinion, however, in the duration of his proposal, a peace pill that would turn man into a vegetable. These proposals have raised storms of object. However, what both of them advocates and great deal supposed to form a mass of brainwashing technology that will lead to the control of human behavior on a vast scale. The questions that have to be answered are, Who will use such a technology? For what purpose will they use it? What world and national leaders' emotional stability needs to be monitored? Who will determine emotional stability by what standards will it be compared? Who will control? Who will be controlled? Whose culture will be valued? What will happen to human rights and dignity? Long before these proposals were presented, people have always found a way to negatively dominate and brainwash other people, children, husbands, wives, friends, relatives, church members. However, before we can answer the above questions and to understand how individuals are brainwashed into a condition of mental illness and destructive behavior, we need to understand and we need an understanding of the psychotechnology of brainwashing. Now, that passage was read for the benefit of what I'm about to say, and this in no way is the opinion of this station or the listening audience or our guests. It's coming from the perspective of Garth, according to Garth. And the reason why I read that to you is because you're going to hear many schools of thoughts on the topic of HIV and AIDS. And some people have their own opinion as to how the disease was derived. Some people have their own concept as to what year it started and who did the research, who was involved, was the government involved, was it a laboratory experiment? And some also have their belief system that it might have come out of Africa with the green monkey. Then there are those who also believe that maybe it was in test tubes, and these test tubes were carried around and implemented in various different places. There are many schools of thought. Nevertheless, the schools of thought and how they got here, right now we are having to deal with this hideous disease, and I do mean hideous, people, because the immune deficiency is a vast organ, and once it's broken down, you are subject to many diseases. And I want you to know, coming from Omiika Garth again, that you don't die from AIDS, but you die from the effects that it has on immune deficiency. When you see many people suffering from pneumonia, various different diseases, and blood count and C cells and T cells, these are all derivatives of the disease itself, but not necessarily the disease that's killing them. Now, what might be killing them, some people think, is AZT. They think that the drug itself has so many side effects that it might have more of a derivative side effect that will be less of a benefit to a patient. Who has taken AZT? How many of those people are still living to talk about it? And what other drugs are out there for this disease that has been successful? Where is the educational material, and where can you find it? And in what communities can you go to get this test? And is it necessary to have the test? And do we all have an HIV count? And once we find out that we have an HIV count, Do we automatically think because we have HIV that we have AIDS? And another question, does kissing or any contact with a person that has AIDS allow you to catch it? Is it an intravenous condition? And did the homosexuals bring it here? There are tons of questions. And lastly, because we're African American, I want to ask the question, when they are trying to eliminate derelicts, undesirable people, people that have a lower socioeconomic status, and if they're trying to lower population, who would be the first person that they would use this drug on, or who would be the first person that would be diagnosed? So we got two problems here. Do you find out that you're diagnosed and you have it, or and if you didn't know you have it, can you live and never be diagnosed? And does the drug kill faster than anything else? And are there any alternatives other than allopathic treatment? These are all the questions we're going to be throwing out there today. And I'm throwing them out there because I want you to call in on 646-478-0270. And that right now I'm going to stop because I want to also tell you that the author of this show, Project 2019, has a lot to say on statistics. Chuck Sanford has written so much stuff on statistics, and I just want to read you a blurb that he's written on the statistics of AIDS, and I think you will find it rather interesting. The families in health across all racial and ethnic groups, except black Americans, 60% of Americans over the age of 18 or have been married, only 40% of black Americans are or have been married. Now, it goes on to say that maternal, fetal, neonatal, and infant mortality rates are higher for black Americans than white Americans and Asian Americans. Although only about 13% of American women are black, the Center for Disease Control estimates that black women account for more than one-third of all abortions. The percentage of black Americans who die as a result of firearms, tobacco use, drug-induced cause, and alcohol-induced causes is greater than the percentage of white Americans and Asian Americans who die from these diseases. Although less than 13% of the population, according to the Center for Disease Control and 2005 statistics, black Americans account for about half of all new HIV diagnosed in the United States and AIDS. Of persons who are diagnosed with AIDS, white Americans and Asian survive longer than black Americans. The life expectancy of black males continues to be remarkably shorter than the life expectancy of others. Sounds like they are the new bald eagle. Let me tell you something, audience. When they discovered that there was a scarcity of the bald eagle, they put an alert out there, and they also put a warning out that you could not apprehend or kill bald eagles. It was against the law. They preserved them and protected them. Now we got statistics so high of African-American males dying, I guess they're the new bald eagle, and maybe they should be protected. Although there is not a dramatic difference in median income for women of all races, as noted, single black females rear the majority of black children. Female household comprises 21.4% of white families and 12.7% of Asian families. However, female household comprise of 56% of black females with children under the age of 18. This is the primary reason why more than one of every four black women and more, I repeat, than one of every three black children live well below the poverty income level. Although one of every four black Americans live below the poverty income level, only one in 12 black or married couples live below the poverty level. Unfortunately, the majority of black families are single households with no spouse represented. Now, I want to speak on that because we know in coming through the middle passage, families were broken up. And we've always had to raise our children as women by ourselves in most instances, and that still was considered as a family. However, you might not think it's a nuclear family because the father's not there, but there was always an understanding that father would be back soon and be in the picture once he found work. So I don't want us to take that as if you have to have both parents. It would be good if you did, but some mothers have done a great job without having both. Now, I want to say this. Are Black Americans in trouble? Are we in trouble or what? Do we need help? Based on all the standard economic measures and social indicators, Black America's socioeconomic standing is remarkably lower than the socioeconomic standings of the rest of America. Compared to other races and ethnic minority, Black America are all near the bottom of every socioeconomic category. We're in trouble. Somebody say it for me. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Yes, we're in trouble. And we got to figure these things out, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to bring our guests on so we can start talking about the issue. What is the problem? Why so many African Americans being diagnosed with HIV and full-blown AIDS? How do they get educated? How do they get proper information, proper materials? And do they continue to go and get tested over and over again? Does the test have anything to do with having all blown out AIDS? And once you get tested, what do you do? And homosexuals, was this a disease that you brought here? Do they say that it's your disease? And how does the homosexual community feel? Because they have said for so many times, you know, this is through intercourse and intravenous. So now we're hearing so many stories, but if you go out on the YouTube, the story is out the hat, ladies and gentlemen, African family. It's out. And some people are starting to tell on themselves now. They are really pointing the finger at the government, saying that the government needs to take control and responsibility for what has happened. My question is to you, do you think the government is responsible? Do you think they need to step in and take control? The biggest business in Africa right now is casket making. They are dying at such astronomical numbers. When I lived in Germany, the Africans were fleeing Africa, coming to Germany, talking about their plight and their problems and their condition. Why is it more so in Africa? Why do you see all of these young people in Africa that are now orphans and their families are gone? What is this? Are we controlling population or what, people? Call in. Let's talk about it. I'm going to get Juanita on the line right now and say hello to her, and we're going to ask her to introduce herself, tell us a little bit about her training and background, and how does she venture to work in a capacity of disease and center the Center for Disease Control, and what made her committed to working with giving information and educational packages to our people, and where has she gone to bring this education, and what is her philosophy on this condition itself? I'm going to bring her on right now, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, hold on for 1 minute. I'm going to see if I can bring this one thing on here. I took a look at my life today, and I saw so much of it faded away, and I know that's what the AIDS patients are feeling, and we're going to go to station identification because we got to pay those bills, and then we're going to come right back to Mrs. Juanita Jordan.
My testimony, arranged by the author, Sherelle Omiinka Garth. I took a look at my life today, and I saw so much of it faded away. I took a breath, and I could hardly breathe. I nearly fell to my knees. For I must go on, you see. I can't let this life get the best of me. For this thing will soon pass. You see, this is only my testimony. While looking for my future in the past, I'll take a breath. And I'll hope that it lasts. For the power once expressed in my past is now accompanying my future. At last, for I must go on, you see, can't let this life get the best of me, for this thing will pass, you'll see, for it's only my testimony, For just being here in the present, it hurts too bad. It only leaves me feeling lonely and sad. From life's ups and downs, I find myself hiding my frowns while looking for my future in the past. For I must go on, you see. I can't let this life get the best of me. This thing will soon pass, you will see. For this is only my testimony. For now that I've learned the art and skill of meditation, I can send out to you who hurt an invitation for a chance to commune with the divine in you by hooking up with the meta nectar. In no time, you'll soon be feeling better. For I must go on, you see. I can't let this life get the best of me. This thing, it will soon pass. You will see. This is only my testimony. While looking for my future in the past, I'll take a breath and hope that it lasts. I'll take a breath now and know that it will last. For my life is no longer a test for me. This is now my only testimony.
And yes, African family, this too will pass. There is nothing new under the sun. And I believe whatever condition that can be created somewhere in the cosmos, in the systemics of the cosmic record, the medulla oblongata of the African American lies the cure for everything that ails man. It has to come from the inside out. I think we will manufacture our own antibiotic to fight this disease that we are fighting with. I believe that this can be manufactured in the human body, and there's no disease known under the sun that man can't overcome. This too will pass. I want to bring on our guest right now, and we're going to see what she has to say about this. This is Juanita Jordan. I'm going to bring her on and ask her to give her a rendition of her concept of AIDS, a little bit about her job, her background, and how does she get involved in working with the Center for Disease Control. Good evening. How are you, Mrs. Jordan?
Okay, I'm here. Hello?
Good to
hear
your voice.
All right.
Yes.
Can you tell
them a little bit about your background and schooling and how you got involved with this type of training and how you involve yourself in the community of the African-American community on educating about AIDS and a little bit information about, I mean, the types of materials that you're putting out there and where can people go and find more information and is there training for proper ways of eating and dietary laws. Can you talk about that for me?
Okay. Yes, I have worked for Purdue University's ethnic group, and ethnic stands for the Expanded Food and Nutrition Education Program. When I left the Gary Health Department as a disease intervention specialist, I took this job because I loved working with people. I loved working in the health field. And I said, you know, I was sort of like a specialist. I did a lot of syphilis, and I tried to help a lot of people with syphilis and get them cured and trained. And I was very distraught because I felt that the people that I was the leaders there at that particular time just didn't care about the people. You know, they were telling me, why are you breaking your neck to help them people? And they're not doing number, they end up having sex anyway, and blah this and blah that. It was always a feeling that they weren't worth my efforts. And I never could accept that. I love my people. And I know I love my people. I don't care if they're poor. In fact, if they're poor, I love them more. I've been poor. In fact, when I first got into this line of work, I hadn't finished college. I needed four more courses. I went to the health department on a workfare program. All my money had run out. I just hit rock bottom. My student loan had come new. I felt like I had no way to live. I had no way to finish school or anything else. And I just sat up in my house and I said, you know, somebody, and I'm just talking to the walls, got to get a job. And then the next day, the administrator, he decided he put me on the payroll. We were taken up for SEADS, and he said, you know, you get more money in your SEADS bottle than anybody else here, and you don't even have a job, and I'm going to put you on the payroll. So that's sort of how it started out. And then when he found out I needed four more courses to finish school, he said, I'll make a deal with you. And he challenged me. He said, you finish and get your degree, and I'll give you a good job. And what he did, that good job, was as a disease intervention specialist. And now they have put the rabbit in the briar patch. I didn't even know this job exists. I couldn't major in public health because I didn't even know it was such a major. I had a degree in developmental psychology. I had started out wanting to be a daycare teacher, okay? So, you know, all these things sort of just came together in one, but this was a job of my calling. I loved the job. I did a whole syphilis epidemic by myself. I was inspired, and I was helping people. And I had originally wanted to be a lab technician, but every time I go to school, I get sick or something happened. I kept being blocked. But when I got downstairs, there was the lab. Here was the lab technician, and she took me in that lab because she says nobody to cover for me when I'm on vacation. And she taught me every test in there, and I got the desires of my heart. That's why I know God has his hand in that, because here I was a lab technician, and I had never finished my credentials to be a lab technician. But here I was backing her up, going to Planned Parenthood, picking up the cultures. I was doing RPIs. I was doing cultures. I was doing slides. She taught me everything in there, and she taught me hard. She was very hard on me. But I learned it, and I did it, and I backed her up when she wasn't there, when she couldn't. The supervisor was very happy because the clinic could run when she wasn't there. And I just worked my tail off, and I loved every minute of it because this was the desires of my heart. And I'm telling you, here I went to school to be a daycare teacher, wind up with a four-year degree in developmental psychology, and I get to be a lab technician, see, one day out of the week or when she's on vacation or whenever. But I was sincerely happy because I got to use all my education, even the 31 credit hours I dropped out of school from medical technology. So here it was. I was using everything that I had, and only God can do this for you. Here, when he puts you to work, he will use you. He will use you, everything that he's given you, and he knows what he's making. When he's making you, he knows what he's making. You don't know what he's making, but he knows what
Amen.
He's making. Okay? Now, when the bad people came in, they took my job. They took me away from my syphilis. They took my job away from me. They were stealing all the money. We couldn't go out in the field or anything else. And I say this because it's the truth. Can't nobody sue me because it's the truth. It's the God offered truth. And so I left. And then when the nutrition job came, I said, I'm going to do this because nutrition is the number one health problem in Black America. But I didn't know why. Hello? Are you still there?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know why.
I'm here.
So when I got out there, I found out. Wow. I had the worst group. I had Ivanhoe Project with the Hef tore down. I had Dora Miller. I had Delaney, okay? But what I found out, that the women in their 30s were smart. They started reaching for the nutrition lessons. This was free. And at the end, you know, I would bring in food and make meals, you know, and I would pick out the best recipes in the book. And make a meal, you know, for the last four lessons, like a reward for finishing both books. And I would try to teach them everything in that book I could on nutrition because I was just totally expired. And at the end of the month, I sponsored free trips to the pantry because I know people don't have no way to go to the pantry. You go to the pantry, you get a box of food, you got no way to carry it. You can't carry that big box of food home. You got no car. Poor people don't have cars. See, they got all this stupid stuff set up where nobody can use it. Nobody can do anything with it. And we ourselves
are well, you know what that is? Jordan, you know what that is? It's like they will put stuff in a book so that they will appear to be doing something and have it all written and send out flyers. Just like it's a mock ceremony.
Yeah, like when they, I tell you what it's like.
And
it's
nobody
like
gets the benefit
it's
from
like
it.
It's like the Spanish, when they print these Spanish books. For the Spanish people that come to this country who can't speak English, but the thing is, they can't read or write Spanish either. See, so that's a waste of time. That's just saying, here, we got something to take care of them when you ain't got nothing to take care of them. Okay.
And you know what? That makes a lot of sense what you just said, because if they're not able to read basic English, how are they going to be able to read their own languages? Some of them are not able to read their own language.
They're not educated like we are in Spanish. They work, they're being on the farm most of the time, just like we were when we were on the farm. And you know, our fathers who first came here, to get jobs in the mill. Maybe they had sixth grade education, and not too much of that, because they was out there in the field.
And Sister Jordan, not to detail what we want to talk about, but we want to get you back on topic today.
Okay,
what about
HIV?
The listening audience wants to know. Excuse me for a minute. They want to know.
Sister Joyce,
can you hear me?
Why do we get sick so fast? Why do we have the most infectious diseases? TB affects us more. Sexually transmitted diseases affect us more. We have 65% of the AIDS.
And why is that? Why is that?
It's
what did you find out? Was there some
hit? But at the beginning of the very bottom of it is our nutrition. So you see, we have the physical and the basic talent when we are fed well to be the greatest athlete
in the world. Okay, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question.
We have
proven that. I'm going to ask you a question because they found that the apparitioners and the African didn't have tooth decay. And their health and their diet used to be extremely good. They could not find tooth decay in their diet. And what they were finding is that they knew the foods to eat. Africans were one of the healthiest eating people in the world. Now, how do we come here to America, become ignorant of nutrition? I know what happened. The prefabricated products were put on the shelf because they're sending those over to Japan and China now. And they're eating the same food and diets we're eating, and they're starting to die quicker and faster. But Africans always had grains, nuts, and they ate from the land, and they were healthy eaters. And even though they call our meal soul food and it was bad food, we still were healthier people. It wasn't until we bought into the system and started eating off the shelves. Our food came out of the garden. It was fresh every day. So what's going on?
Okay.
What's happening?
Is that we have rejected the nutrition of the city, let's put it that way, because women are not cooking the greens and the sweet
and
potatoes.
Women are not cooking.
And they're not even half the time taking the time to fry the chicken. When I went into these homes,
and you know what? You hit it. Women are not cooking.
I found a whole lot of
hot dogs. Think?
What is it?
Mr. Jordan, I have to ask you some questions now, okay, because this is an interview. Do you think that when the women started to go to work,
yes,
they were barely cooking a meal, they weren't planning anything, do you think that when society changed and had to have both people working, then the meals started to go by the wayside, children started eating out of a brown paper bag and eating all the sugar and sweets they could eat? Do you not know that most of our criminals that are in prison now are illiterate, and they are junky, sweet food additive and have been hooked on white sugar? And most of the illnesses and conditions come from derivative of white flour and sugar, and most of them were some of the serial killers, and they looked at their diet. The diet had been completely shot. Now, African Americans are going to have to go back.
Who buys groceries, okay, she is often forced into work, sometimes by the system. Sometimes she's trying to get away from the system, but either way, she does not have time to cook.
Okay, now we're going to say this. We know the problem because we don't have the money economically, but we can get that together. But what we don't have control of is someone is trying to stick a community, telling them, come in, get your test. After you get your test, come and get the poison to go with it so it's going to cure you. What about this AZT? Is it a poison? Is it curing people? Is it something that African Americans want to take?
Yes, there's nothing wrong with the AZT. There's nothing wrong with the AZT. Okay? There's all the AIDS, the things that they have put down to prolong the lives of people with HIV are working. They're living much longer than they used to.
What are the statistics on that? Sister Jordan, can you give me any statistics on the success rate of using AZT?
Because I was at the health department when they first started.
What are the numbers? Give me some statistics.
The people didn't live very long at all. They didn't live. They used to didn't even live hardly even 3 years after it was discovered.
What are the statistics? You don't know them?
Positive. Okay, but now they are living a lot longer, especially when they are going to the doctor. They have a lot of drugs out now that will help prolong their life. And where I work, the Atlantis Project, we do care coordination. And one of the things
can you get people insurance
to pay for the drugs they need to help prolong their life if they are HIV positive. We can help them get insurance to pay for these drugs.
Do you know how much money is being spent on the education? Billions of dollars. Billions of dollars is being spent on education and HIV. There's a conspiracy going on here with all that money being put in there to keeping somebody working. And I hate to say this, you know, to you, but you may be one of them, but they're keeping people working.
But at the same time, that's how the government works. We have programs.
Okay, no, you listen for a minute. I want to make sure that everybody knows that there's programs for our people. Right, but I mean, you know they got billions of dollars out there.
They are not taking advantage of the programs.
No, no, there's billions of money. When we are at an upside-down economic status, they're still pumping money into AIDS.
They're pumping money in a lot of things. We are not taking advantage.
Right, but when you put money like that into
we have
stuff,
to help us live better.
Okay, let me say this.
Out there, we're not taking advantage of the programs. Okay?
Okay, let me say this. When they put that kind of money out there.
Wait a minute. We have a teenage epidemic of young women getting sick.
Okay, let me go back because I want to drive the way this interview is supposed to go because, see, right now we're just all over the place. Let me try to bring it back. Two things. Where did it come from? How did it get here?
There are many schools of thought on where did it come from and how did it get here. You can't blame the homosexual.
What are some of the documented ones?
What are some of the what?
What are some of the documented statements that they have taught and they do in education when they send you out? What are some of the things they send you out and they say, this is what we found?
What do you mean? About the origins of
HIV? Let me say this. As African-American people, when we love our people, we tell them the truth. And when we love our people, we make sure that they're properly educated because for so many years, we've been held in darkness, and lies have been told to us. I'm done with the lies. Somebody got to come clean and tell the truth about this condition. And now that it's here, you know, if you wanted to take the derelicts and shame them and the homosexuals and the blacks, that would be a great way of getting rid of all of them at one time. But at the same time, tell the truth about the derivative of where the disease came from, and is there other cures that people are finding? They put a man in jail. One of my best friends, Dr. Sebi, he was working on nutrition and healed somebody with AIDS with nutrition. They took him to court. He wasn't supposed to tell nobody that he healed somebody with nutrition. So that is a farce when they're saying use nutrition. No, they don't want you to use nutrition. He went to jail and went to court, and they tried him. They want you to use their medicine. Because pharmaceutical drugs is a big market now, am I wrong?
We don't know how many people are becoming infected with AIDS and not actually getting infected with AIDS because they have a strong, healthy, physical body, but it's not enough of them. We know that people can be exposed to diseases, all kind of contagious diseases, and their body can fight those diseases off if they have a strong, healthy body. The only way you're going to get a strong, healthy body is to feed that body the proper nutrition. You understand what I'm saying? So this is something that we have control over to some degree is what we eat. Okay? Let me say this.
I worked in home economics. That's what my degree was in, worked with nutrition. So I took those classes in nutrition. I know that you have to know what you're doing when you're mixing the enzymes. And you're talking about a T cell that is failed. A T cell is a very strong military active duty person in the body that fights off cells. And it alerts the body when it's not balanced. And whenever you're having an invasion, it fights. Cancer is one of those invasions where it it tells that the cancer cell to multiply. Okay? Can you imagine it's telling them to multiply and it's fighting? What we're looking at now is a disease that has had four or five diseases mixed in with it. It's not just one disease. It's many diseases. So you got all of these diseases being given a command to come out. You got an African-American body that's strong.
That's not true.
Well, from what I understand, now, we're going to be respectful to each other because that's your opinion, but they've already explained to us that you're not talking about one disease. You're talking about many.
Your immune system does not work, and you don't need
it. Okay, let me finish now. You're talking about
many diseases. You can have diabetes, or you can just be weak from malnutrition.
Okay, let me go back.
As a person with HIV.
Okay, now we're not going to both try to talk at the same time. Let me finish my statement. Okay, we're going to be respectful to that point. In this show, we have to do that. What I was saying is that a person, the immune deficiency is a great problem because if the immune deficiency is low, you cannot overcome the disease. It is too low. For those who have a strong immune deficiency, they have better chances. But what it attacks is your immune deficiency. That's what the disease attacks.
All right.
And when it attacks your body.
We're saying the same thing in two different ways.
Yeah, it attacks your body.
Let me just put this out there.
Right now, the African American is very disturbed about this whole thing, and the gay community, and some of the homophiliacs. They're very disturbed. You can go out on YouTube right now, and you see governmental institutions that are telling on one another right now. It's no secret. They're telling on one another, and they're saying where this disease came from, how it was created. And they're not saying that it just happened one night that it happened, it came up. Now, you talked to me about the fact that they
were looking at this. We cannot worry at this point where it came from because we all know the answer to that question. That's not going to get us anywhere. We have to figure out how we are going to protect our bodies from not only that disease, but all of the diseases that are running rampart in our society.
Because
of HIV, TB is up. Other sexually transmitted.
Okay, let me say something. Black folks are not going to be spooked. Now we can just stop that spook stuff because first of all, we serve a mighty God, and our bodies are set up.
What we have.
Okay, let me finish my point.
Ourselves.
My point. Black folks at one time, when they had the Dark Ages, they came to the Africans to find the healing. We were people who knew how to heal ourselves. Now, we ain't just come in to learn about nutrition. We were people that knew how to heal ourselves. And I'm saying that to you because I have family members that lived to be 100 years old, and they were considered as the French Indians, and they knew how to heal themselves. So we know we got to figure out how to heal ourselves, but at the same time, sometimes when you know something supernaturally happening, and you could go in and eat all you want, but when they done broken down your immune deficiency, sometimes that ain't it. Sometimes you got chemical warfare going on. You're talking about people talking about martial law now. Somebody's trying to feed to death, and this stuff has to stop because we have to look at, do we just go in and eat a bunch of food from the ground? The ground is depleted. You got pesticides in the ground. So, you got to grow your own food. That's what you got to do because if the ground is depleted, you are just eating empty calories.
The Muslims did that. The Muslims had their own fires outside. They were bringing food out to their stores and the restaurant in Chicago. That's what the Muslims did when they first started back in the 60s. They already did that. Their trucks were sabotaged. Their farms were burned.
No, I'm not talking about just the Muslims. I'm talking about our community, Gary's community. You should see more gardens cropping up all over with organic gardens in the windows in the backyard because I would be afraid to go in and get all this pesticide food that has been pesticide-driven, and then you are trying to heal your body from AIDS. I'm going to tell you another thing I think, Juanita. I think that our ancestors know the solution. I'm just going to put it out there for the audience that might want to call in. Ancestors said the ephah was there at the inception. He knows all things. You can consult Ifa for a solution for this problem, and he will give direction. But see, we're going to have to turn back to our ancestors, consult them, and stop giving our ancestral worshiping over to other cultures and
okay.
run around saying that
we got
you
7 minutes.
That I can't.
Because we need that power.
Let
me talk for these 7 minutes so I can get the message out there.
I'm going to ask you to talk, but I want some solutions.
The young people who they're not taking advantage of. These people need.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask you a question. Other than diet, what other things can they do?
Well, that's the first thing they can do. The next thing they can do is protect themselves. Okay, protect themselves. If they can't form monogamous relationships, that's one man and one woman, then they need to protect
I'm not buying that because it don't even come from sex. See, that's some garbage they're putting out there. Not even the shame thing
sex.
On them. If you go out there and look at the statistics, they said it was never derived from sex. That's a lie, and they know it's a lie. They're now telling you that that ain't the only reason. They're saying that...
It's not the only way you can get it, but it's one. It's one way you can get it, okay?
See, you got people running scared, and that's what they do to black folks. They're scared.
Whoa, we have to find other alternatives for our young men that are selling drugs and going...
Do you not know that men have been marrying seven women, having sex with seven women throughout history, and they ain't never had no AIDS? So how do they explain that? They had seven wives.
No,
I know people got seven wives.
I did not say AIDS come from promiscuity. But it's out there now, and it's being.
I mean, now that's not promiscuous. They lay with these women. They go to bed with them. So that's not promiscuous. They have a right.
You're not solving the problem. You're just making more problems. You're not solving.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to stop saying what they're saying, and I want to say what we really need to be looking at, because they're scaring us
by going through the system, and we don't have nothing to replace it with. You're not going to solve that problem. You're going to have
okay. Let me back up. Okay, Juanita, I asked you about the statistics, and sometimes they give you numbers, but right now it sounds like they don't even have the numbers, and I know you can find those numbers online about what the percentage is. For
somebody is
told No. Listen now. Don't get angry. You're a professional.
It doesn't matter.
And usually when they send you out, when they send you out, they give you statistics of how many people have been survivors, because I can go pick up my book. It's got it right in there. And people need to know how many people have survived.
What is the point? Are you trying to tell the people here something they can do to make their life better?
No, I'm asking you, what is successful? What has been successful? And what are the numbers of success? And what have they used for the success? That's what I'm saying. I don't want to hoax nobody and say, just you say sex. But you got to tell me when they do contract it. What are the numbers of people being cured and being able to walk away and use that drug and get cured? Is there any numbers?
No, there's only numbers where people live longer. There's no numbers of people who are being cured. There's rumors, but there are only numbers. Now, we do have people who tested positive, and in a year or two they come in and they no longer testing positive. Okay, but in a year or two they will start back testing positive. Okay, because certain factors in their blood have changed where it's no longer registering on our testing device, if that's what you're talking about.
Now,
but
does that mean that everybody has HIV in their bloodstream, or is this only with those people who are infected?
There are people testing negative who have HIV in their bloodstream. This is what I'm telling you, and I'm telling you it's very possible that some people get HIV and are throwing the disease off. We have no statistics on that, but that are actually overcoming the disease before the disease can register on testing device because they know how to eat, they know how to exercise,
are you familiar with the
proper rest. Do you understand what I'm saying now?
Juanita, are you familiar with the Tuskegee Airmen?
I'm very familiar with it. I teach it to every group.
Let me finish because I was going to ask you something about it. Because they actually admitted to what they did with that particular experiment and then came back and said that they knew the people that they had did the experiment
on.
They have to have human specimens in order to test I worked in pathology. I did autopsies, and we did stand down. So I know you have to have human specimens when you test. But I'm just wondering, could perhaps with these green monkeys that they were testing, because I understand Africans eat monkeys. Now, if they tested the monkeys, this fluid on the monkeys, and the specimen was done on the monkeys, could perhaps if the monkeys contracted it first and then they gave it to the Africans?
All kind of things are possible. I, for one, I don't accept the green monkey theory as it was given to me, but I don't have another theory that I can prove to give the people other than it's very convenient that Africans have HIV at this time, and the government doesn't have any plan to take them into slavery, bring them in this country, and make them work for 400 years like they did us. They're just going to kill them and take their resources. Okay, and they won't have to kill them if they die of AIDS. You know, that's
who
a very
that?
Convenient situation, is it not?
Now, you say that the government will take them. Who are you talking about?
I'm saying that if our government or Great Britain or some other country wants the Africans' resources, if all the Africans are dead, all they have to do is go over there and take the oil and the diamonds. I'm saying that it seems very convenient when we got interested in their resources that suddenly there was a huge AIDS epidemic over there. I said, that's very convenient.
So you too think that there's a conspiracy?
It's unimproved nothing. And it's also very convenient that the homosexuals have been around for years. They had homosexuals in biblical time. And syphilis has been around for years. And gonorrhea has been around for years. All these diseases.
And so has polygamy been around
America
for years.
By the Europeans, all of these shameful diseases. But suddenly, the Africans got their own disease, and it crops up in the 70s when all the rest of the sexually transmitted disease
okay.
been here for
okay.
centuries.
Okay, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Now we're on the same page.
I think it's very convenient, but I can't prove it. I think that's
and you know what? And you know what? And I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that, Sister Jordan. I'm glad you said that because that's what the African American community need to hear because it is awfully convenient. And I look at it like this
convenient.
Right now. Africa is up
for
grabs.
Not
for
us, but it's convenient for someone else. Now, will you figure
out? Africa is up. Africa is up for grabs.
Will you figure out?
Okay.
Who's going to profit?
Okay. Now,
from
I need to call.
On.
I need to say
you
something.
Get some
I need to say
about,
something.
You get some ideas about it, but that doesn't mean you can prove anything.
Okay, well, see, I'm not going to try to prove anything because eventually they're going to tell on itself. What I'm saying is that it is often convenient that they happen, but nevertheless, I'm looking for solutions. That's why I'm going to keep saying our ancestors because, see, right now, Africans are feeling helpless. They're feeling like there's nowhere to turn. African Americans feel like this is it. And some of them
have not realized.
They have not realized they have resources. Okay, Ms. Jordan, I'm asking you not to talk over me while I'm trying to talk. And I did listen to you. I'm saying that I think they're going
to
have to look at their real resources.
I got to talk 2 minutes.
And we have resources. We do have resources. And that is to look at our Bible laws and to look at our ancestorship and go back to that and consult them for a solution for this end-day problem. And I'm saying that because they need it for a whole lot of other stuff. See, when you can put somebody in that position, you could get them to the point of feeling helpless. And if you have no way to turn, then you come out doing strange and crazy things. And we're not to panic because there's always a solution for
well,
you from the inside. I'm going to say this to the community.
Okay.
You got to look in the inside.
Our ancestors cannot help us, and they're dead. So that's why.
On this show, we do believe in ancestors, and ancestors can help you. They make a way for you. And I want to say to the listening audience, everybody don't have to believe what you believe, but we do believe that the ancestors can open a door for us. And I believe that dead don't mean dead because you never die when you reincarnate. That means you go into another level. That's what we believe on this show, Mrs. Jordan. But everybody that come here don't have to believe in ancestors, but this is my opinion. And I have a right to it just like everybody else have a right to it. And we are going to foster that because we know if we have nowhere else to look, that's where we're going to look. We're going to look to our fathers and our ancestors because they're going
to
open the door for us.
Look to the things that you can do something about. I'm telling you, eat better.
Well, that's how you do something. You have ritual.
And here's another thing. Get you a better nutrition education. They have programs out there.
Oh, well, you've been miseducated.
Those programs.
Wait a minute now, Miss Jordan.
That's not good.
We've been miseducated. Remember, kids are dropping out of school. They don't want to go to school. So how's somebody going to teach you the truth? So you
they
have to go to somebody who has a better interest in you.
They don't teach nutrition.
Okay, the reason why I said ancestors, ladies and
gentlemen,
if somebody
anyway,
has a vested interest
no
in
more.
You,
okay.
If somebody has a vested interest in you, it would be your mothers and your fathers who've gone on before you. They'd be fighting for you. Ancestors never stop fighting for you. And energy can never die. I believe in reincarnation. And those people are not dead. They can come back and fight for you. And they will fight for us. I believe that. That's why I'm not accepting this verdict laying down that it's hopeless. It's not hopeless. They can intercede on our behalf, and they will intercede on our behalf once we call them.
Something they can do that they have control over. That's what you have to do.
Dead don't mean dead, Sister Jordan. Dead means at another state. They're in a higher state than we are.
Prayer works, but prayer is dependent on faith. We need something that's dependent on something we can put our hands on. And with that,
see, you've been in church all your life. And we said we got church, and the church people.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's somebody who doesn't believe in ancestors. And if they choose not to believe in ancestors, that's fine. But they're not going to desecrate the ancestors on this show. And ancestors are not dead. And as far as I'm concerned, we in this show acknowledge our ancestors. And if she has a job to do, and because she has a job to do, sometimes she can't say certain things. We understand that. But you don't desecrate the ancestors. You don't say that they're dead and they can't do anything for you. I will have to defend those ancestors because they truly have been available for me. Whether or not she believes in it or not is fine. That's not a problem. And what we're going to continue to believe is that there's a way of escape for us and there's a solution for us. It is not a hopeless cause. And you're not going to be scared and spooked out of your mind. You're going to look towards the heavens for your help. And we know our help coming from the Lord. And if anybody in their right black mind would realize that we are Africans first, and we've always known that we have solutions on the inside of us. And if you choose not to look on the inside for your solution and you think you're going to find it in a pill or a test tube, then you go right ahead and look for it. And if that's fine. But there, like she said, there's many, many philosophies about this. Many, many understandings, and I'm sure she's probably ran into a lot of brick wall because they're telling her what to say. They're telling her what to say, and she sat there and concurred that she believed that there was a conspiracy, but then she didn't even honor her own statement. And when I said that we can look towards the ancestors, I meant that, and I'm going to continue to mean that. I don't care who don't like it because our ancestors are the total of why we came. They are opening the door. They are patterning out ways for our escape. They are assisting us. Now, she believed that it's awfully convenient for all of this to be happening so that there will be nobody to defend the African. If she thinks all that, then she too shares the same opinion we do. But we're not going to appear to be helpless. We're going to help ourselves today. We're going to do that, and we're going to find a solution in our rituals and our spirituality. And in this show, that's what we believe in. Now, but to come on here and to give the audience a whole lot of hogwash and then to secretly say that you suspect this or suspect that, you know, you got to be pretty bold to come on the show in the first place because you got to speak the truth. You can't come on here lying and saying things that you don't really believe yourself. Because this is our life we're talking about. We're going to find solutions for it. And people are looking for those solutions. So let us find it within ourselves. Let us go within ourselves now and take deep breaths and ask our ancestors to lead and guide us and show us the way to get through this thing and give us direction for our life. And ancestors, as we leave this evening, I know you're going to show us direction and how to find a solution for our problems of today. We're not going to be lost, and we're not going to be confused. We're not going to be ignorant of the fact, and we're not going to be afraid because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and a sound mind, and we, too, will find our way. We will find our way in the upper room.
Mm-hmm.
Want to thank that guest for coming on this evening and having the boldness to stand up for what the truth is. We want to thank Ms. Janaida Jordan for coming on and speaking her truth and not being afraid. We speak the power of boldness over her. And we say to the ancestors, thank you for being available to us. And no man that is African should ever come against their own mothers and fathers. They should always honor their mothers and fathers. And we thank you for the opportunity to have this show to reveal the information that needs to be spoken, and the truth will always prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, please join us tomorrow. We'll be here same time, 6:30. That number is 646-478-0270. Be controversial at times, but we have to get the truth out there. ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us the whole evening. Can't stand in the heat, get out of the kitchen. Sometimes it's tough, but it's not for everyone to talk about.
They're talking to my Lord, yeah, I'm your boy. You know it's he, the upper room.
Audience, I ask you, if they should close down every church tomorrow and every door should be barred and you can't go in, will you be able to bring an institution called church up within your being? Will you be able to go home and fellowship? Will you be able to summon the ancestors to be able to have church? Or will you fall apart because there's no building to go in? You are the living epistle. And yes, the ancestors taught us that they could never die and they would never go anywhere and that they were the sum total of why we came and that they would open our way and make it plain and clear. I will continue to go on believing in our ancestors and those that come on this show, you have to respect where I stand. Regardless of what you believe in, you are not to come on this show and desecrate our ancestors. You might want to keep it to yourself. But it's foolish for someone to play around and do things against the ancestors. Very foolish, because I do know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I couldn't have gotten this far without standing on their backs. Now, they're going to be listening audience that don't share the same viewpoints, and it's okay. You know, as long as I respect your viewpoints, you'll respect mine. I feel like today that we have broke some barriers and we've talked about issues that should have long been talked about. Some of us get in these jobs sometime and we're afraid to bring the truth forward. And if we say we love our people and we're for our people, we must always make sure we come clean with our people and bring the truth. Now, you don't have to ever acknowledge an ancestor. You don't have to ever say you believe in them, but it's disrespectful for you to come on a show and desecrate somebody who is saying they believe in it. But that's great. That's quite all right. We're going to go on and run on and see what the end's going to be. We thank you anyway, Mrs. Juanita Jordan. And good luck on your research out there with AIDS, and good luck at giving out information. But let's make sure we get statistics together so that our people can have proper documentation and they know how to handle their situation and we can find a cure and a solution for all end time. You must remember, at one time in the dark age, we were the only ones that had solution to disease and to health problems, that the other world looked to us for disease, and they will look back to us again. We did not run around as if we had lost our mind and had no way of helping to solve the disease problem. We've always found a way to solve the disease problem, and we'll find that again. I know if we go within ourselves, the ancestors will be the solution, and they will help us. Odabo, have a great weekend, and please remember your ancestors. Acknowledge them. And if they ask you who initiated you, go out and find somebody you can sit up under and be taught well so you can be initiated. Have a great weekend. Thank you.